So here we are with Andrew O'Callaghan, who's a partner of PwC. Andrew, what position do you have with PwC?
I am the FDI leader for assurance, so that's our audit practice. So working with our multinational clients who have operations in Ireland, helping them to grow and hopefully succeed here. And I'm also an asset management partner, so I work with investment fund companies who have set up funds in Ireland, and we help them run them here.
So PwC must have a very strong corporate culture to be able to let go of a key member of staff, a key member of the team, if you like, to go out to Africa. How long did you go out for, and do you want to talk to me about the culture?
I went out for 2 months. I went to Uganda in East Africa. The project I was on was sponsored by PwC globally. So each year, PwC nominated 18 partners in different parts of the world to go to work on projects that were identified by the United Nations Development Programme. So the UNDP identified this particular project, HIV/AIDS related in Uganda, where they wanted PwC to send three professional people who would focus on how well the money was being spent in terms of the UNDP. But really, it was really around the quality of infrastructure, the quality of administration, the level of oversight. Were the charities themselves coordinating well together and working well together? And if not, how could we help improve that in terms of efficiency? That's really what it was. And we went out to Uganda for 2 months to try and help with that project.
For you getting in there and settling in there, I mean, that must have been tough by itself. Quite a culture shock, no?
It was. You know, we sometimes think of these countries being so far away. The truth is this was a flight from London. You know, we got on the flight on a Tuesday night, arrived there Wednesday morning, and boom, there it is. It's, you know, it's 9 hours away. It was an eye-opener. It was, you know, it was very difficult to actually to deal with, you know, later in the day to say, what are we going to do? You know, anything we can do is only drop in the ocean. But you know what? Let's do what we can. And particularly the fact that it's not so far away. Because viewing it as so far away, I think, gives an excuse not to really do anything about it. You know, when it's on your doorstep, which is really what it is in modern terms, in terms of modern technology, it is on our doorstep, and it's very tragic.
What would you feel is the biggest tragedy you're talking about, and what would be the upshot?
I think the needless loss of life on a huge, huge scale, you know, children losing their parents, so many orphans, you know, orphans who just didn't, we went to one place, which is really just like a small two-roomed really dwelling, and there were 36 orphaned children living there, being cared for by a charity, with very, you know, humble resources, but 36 children. Each of them had two items of clothing, and they used to put the items of clothing up on a nail on the wall. Literally, that was it. That's all they had. And it's needless because, you know, the medicines are available that would have kept the parents alive. And that was probably the hardest thing to accept.
What things can Uganda do to improve its own plight?
Well, I think there's been lots of stuff in the media about Uganda, and unfortunately, very often it's not just Uganda, but countries, you know, who are the poorest have frequently the poorest governance. So they need better governance. They really do. They need education, but that is improving. And then they need an opportunity. So an opportunity to trade and to, you know, be a part of the international world. But I think it starts with government and starts with governance, and they need people who really care about their citizens.
With regards to going out, your motivation, can I say that you're a man of your faith, is that true?
I am, and that had a big impact on me. When I went out to South Africa, initially, I went out actually on a holiday with a friend of mine from the office a couple of years before I went to Uganda, and I just felt this was wrong, you know, the scale of the poverty. And South Africa is a very rich country, but there's obviously huge, huge poverty as well. And, you know, in places like some of the townships, you get a sense for it just being wrong. So I spoke to PwC when I came back, and they said, well, you know, we have this global program, and that's how it started, you know. But certainly from a faith or a personal perspective, I think we're all called to do what we can. That's what it's all about, you know. And whether that's in Ireland, whether that's just in your own locality or your home or wherever it might be, or whether it is overseas, and we're called to do what we can to help other people. And you get the greatest satisfaction from doing that, because you know that's what you're all called to do. And it could be just right where you are in your workplace, just helping the person beside you. But either way, that's where I think you're called to be active.
when you go out and you experience and you see so much poverty, I mean, it is a culture shock in itself. But one of the things that it must do is that when you get back here to Ireland, where there's a sort of a culture of materialism, a drive to have more and achieve more, if you like, by getting more, I mean, it must put things back into perspective straight away.
Well, it does, but I think, you know, there's goodness in everybody, really, and you've got to find that sometimes. But Irish people are good people. There's no question. They are generous people. You know, when I gave the presentations when I came back, you know, people really wanted to know, how can I help, you know, young, whether it be young trainee accountants in PwC or people in kind of faith communities, in the Catholic Church and in other Christian churches, people just said, what can we do? How can we help here? So there's enormous goodwill. So I would always be positive about Irish people, really, and about the desire of people here to help others. That is still very much part of Irish culture and the Irish ethos.
How much do you think is linked to the sort of the genetic memory, if you like, or the genealogical memory of the famine years?
Well, I suppose we all have an appreciation of what, you know, through school and through, you know, our own research. I suppose everybody in their own way has read about the famine, not just through what you learnt in school. You know, we're not that far from, you know, the most appalling tragedy in this country. And there's still obviously poverty here. So I think you are reminded of the fact that we're fortunate. Despite our challenges, we are fortunate, and we are in a position to help each other and help other people.
And finally, you've been out. Will you go again?
I will. So I'm married now, and we have 4 kids, so that kind of curtails my adventuring into Africa. But it'll always stay with me. My focus now is, you know, working with companies either from Ireland going out to Africa, or indeed South African businesses and other parts of Africa investing into Europe. And one thing I reached, and, you know, back to the faith perspective, one conclusion I reached was, you know, I really toyed with, or probably, you know, tore myself apart a little bit about, do I go out there or do I stay in Ireland? Do I go out there full time? And I was close to going out there full time. But I said, you know what, I think I can do more. I felt called, if you like, to do it from here and to try and contribute from here. And that's what I continue to do. And I feel I should keep on doing that.
Andrew O'Callaghan, thank you very much for talking to us today.